The internet has changed everything. But the one part of the sex trade in Portland that is most consistent is stripping. This is the ninth in KBOO's 10-episode series on the business of sex in Portland. In this episode, we tackle the subject of getting naked. How about those strip clubs that are so conspicuous as you drive across town? How do they fit in the industry picture here?
There are two different kinds of things happening here. One is burlesque, which seems to have evolved, at least here in Portland, into performance art. Here's Honey LaFleur talking about that.
And I do think that I know plenty of women that make a career out of it, if not forever, for at least a time. You know, it's just like any other, I think, body-based artistic form, because I do think there's an art to stripping as well. And it's just, I think it just looks different. And I think that people look down on it because we're taught to not respect bodies and to cover them up. I mean, it sounds so cliche to say it like that, but there's a lot of power in just like showing your bod and getting somebody's like full on paycheck or something. Like, it's like just giving you money. I think it's actually quite a feminist act to do that, because again, it's about a woman's body taking up space in the world. And also the other thing about it too is like, strippers make money. Like, there's a lot of money to be had to play into and against patriarchy and those like patriarchal and heteronormative views that people have of a body on stage.
But the real story is about stripping, dancing in clubs that cater to, well, horny guys. In the sex industry, stripping seems to be one of the slippery slopes between what's legal and what's not. And strip clubs occupy that gray zone. Here's Red Reed on the connection between stripping and prostitution.
I think that when women are kind of put in a corner where they're not making money dancing, some women choose to do prostitution as a means to an end. Like, you have to make money somehow, and a place like Portland doesn't provide that. So some women choose to do prostitution or full service.
Yeah. It's just another way to make your rent.
Yeah.
And here's Agent Bean of the FBI on stripping as a stepping stone into prostitution.
The strip clubs can be kind of a gateway for that type of activity, to allow someone to kind of let their guard down. I mean, we trafficker developing a victim and what that looks like. And part of that is kind of breaking down your natural defenses of, you know, I don't want to have sex with a stranger. I think there's some characteristics about Portland specifically that do enable traffickers to ply their trade with much success here. And you see that in strip clubs and adult sex shops, et cetera. I don't think the adult sex shops are so much of a causality as I do think the strip clubs are, because, you know, one of the things that we know about sex trafficking is the normalization of sexual exploitation tends to increase its proliferation. So if the community accepts sexual exploitation as the norm, then that's a area where you may find an increased occurrence of sex trafficking.
Wait a minute. Did you say we accept exploitation as a norm?
If a community does. It's the community factors. I didn't say that we did, but I said if a community accepts sexual exploitation as kind of a norm, and it depends on what your beliefs are with respect to strip clubs, right? You know, we have... strip clubs that allow an 18-year-old to dance in front of adults, and an 18-year-old is an adult. But, you know, at what point does the normalization of that sexual activity, being dancing naked, at what point does that maybe turn the corner to something that's more participatory?
Our research for this series took us to Diablo 2, a club on McCullough. It's a big open room with a bar to your right as you walk in and a stage area with two poles taking up most of the rest of the stark, undecorated space to your left. Customers, mostly 20-something guys when we were there, sat around a bar that creates a rectangle around the two dance poles. On those poles and on the bar itself, women stripped and danced. The dancer worked around the bar and got close to each customer, who paid out $2 bills as the dancers got even closer. What's it like to work as a stripper in Portland? Here's what Fauna had to say about that.
Life stripping in Portland is definitely different than other cities because the strip clubs here don't allow for most women to make more than just enough to live by.
How do they limit what you make? I mean, I saw.
You don't, first of all, get paid. When you're working there, you pay the strip club to work there via a stage fee. And after tipping out, everything you keep is just from the tips that people give you and the dances you make. But the strip clubs here in Portland, first of all, there's so many of them because it's so easy to open them in Portland mm-hmm. compared to other cities because it's easier to get a liquor license.
I've heard that there's like 100. Is that possible?
I don't think there's quite a... It's 45? Yeah, it's less than that. But
you can get the magazine and count. I counted one time, but this was years ago, so it was like 45 back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not quite 100. It's because of the strip clubs and the owners. To them, they're... they want as many people in the strip clubs buying cheap mm-hmm. drinks as possible. Yeah. So they don't charge a door fee, whereas other cities do. The drinks are really cheap, where other cities charge a lot for drinks, kind of weeding out people that aren't going to spend money. So the environment for the strippers in Portland is just dancing for free for people drinking, and you're not making hardly anything. You have to really try hard to make money. You have to... like talk to every customer. You have to try harder than other cities mm-hmm. to make money. And I know this because I've traveled other cities in the U.S. and it's 100 times easier, even when it's not full nude, which Portland is. And the contact level here is higher than a lot of places. Yeah. So guys kind of feel more entitled to your body. They, they're just really like, what am I going to get for $20? And you're going to get a dance, but they're expecting some like level of contact where other cities don't really have that. They're stricter.
That was new to me. I was at a club the other day and I saw that. What can you do if somebody goes beyond? Is there some limit to what they can do? I mean,
but strip clubs don't really like protect you. I've done dances where guys have pulled out their genitals mm-hmm. and I've almost sat on it and told a bouncer and they don't call the cops. They don't do anything. They just sometimes kick them out for crossing your boundaries.
So you're really on your own.
Especially in a place like Portland.
And stripping here is racist?
Do you think that out of all the clubs that I've danced at, Portland is definitely the most racist city? A lot of clubs tend to not hire women of color. And if you are a woman of color, you have to be racially ambiguous to get, like, the decent shifts, the night shifts. And it's I've worked at clubs where when I started in Portland where I remember there was these two African-American women that walked in and auditioned. And this is a club that prides themselves on being progressive and feminist. These two women auditioned, and after they left, the bartender and the bouncer were joking about how they thought all black women could dance and how they weren't going to get hired, and they were just very openly racist, and it's just I've seen the least diversity in Portland for that, so women of color that wish to dance that don't get hired, which happens a lot, have to end up doing other forms mm-hmm. of sex work to survive.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So racist here.
Yeah, it's very racist.
Here we can tell the rest of the Bowley story. Club dancers have rights under state law, but how much enforcement is there really?
Was your work with Bowley, did you feel it was successful?
No.
Why? Why not?
They had absolutely no investment in maintaining the live entertainer hotline. They used me as a receptionist, and once I quit, which was 3 months into the job because I was disappointed at how it was going, they never replaced me. I know people who've called the hotline and have never gotten a call back. As far as I know, that $69,000 that went into that position has just gone elsewhere.
There are several other types of stripped-down attractions in Portland, like the bikini drive-through coffee shops, the naked bike race, Humpfest, and the undressed laundromat, but we'll let you research them for yourself. Okay, we're just kidding. About the laundromat, anyway.
Stripping is big business in Portland. We've heard the different perspectives of the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry and Red Reed of Stroll. What do you think? Are we treating this business in a way that's fair and sensible?
We'd like your feedback. At the end of this series, we'd like to do a follow-up episode in which you get to speak your mind on this subject. If you have a comment or question about the series or about the sex trade, we'd like to hear it. Call the KBOO Newsroom at 503-231-8032, extension 202, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Natalie.
And that's it for episode 9 of Sex for Sale.